30 Minute Theatre. Once Upon a Christmas by David Fitzsimmons.
About something, Norman. You're upset. I can tell you're upset. Has somebody said something? Done something? Oh, speak to me, Norman.
I'll teach them. They'll get the cards for this. They'll get the cards, all right. I'll see they get... And do you know what Starkey said? He said, pity they found you in time.
Hey.
He said that. That's what he said. Him, the foreman. There's me, nearly strangled, half dead, and he says... I'm taking it higher. Much higher. To the general manager, to Broster. Well, they're not getting away with this. I'll see if they get the cards. 20 minutes they left me hanging there. I could have strangled. I nearly strangled. I nearly didn't come home tonight, Alice.
Oh, don't say that, Norman.
And they'll have to buy me a new overall. I mean, this one's ruined. Look, there's a big hole in the back where the hook went through. 20 minutes they left me hanging in the paint store. It took 3 of them to lift me down. They said my face was purple.
Oh, calm down, Norman.
I feel the life draining out of me. My head was pounding like a sledgehammer. Oh, I couldn't have lasted much longer. Another few minutes and...
Oh, dear.
They were drunk, you know. As drunk as... They were as drunk as... Well, as drunk as you can be. They've been in the Dyer's Arms since dinner time. Well, they paid us this morning, you see, with it being Christmas Eve. Now, that was stupid. I should have realised what would happen. 11:30, they downed tools and were off. Just walked out. Starkey didn't stop him, he didn't try. He couldn't have stopped him, they'd treat him like a cream puff. They came back daft, staggering about, singing songs with mucky words.
No.
And where office girls passing through could hear. I said to him, what's your bloody language? And they turned on me, so I repeated it. 20 minutes they left me hanging in the paint store. If old Charlie Greenhouse hadn't come back to stick his brush in Terps, I'd be dead now.
Oh, no.
I would, as dead as that table. Even smelling salt stuck under me nose didn't bring me round straight away, so you can judge how bad I was. And all Starkey could say was pity they found you in time.
Oh.
There's me, nearly brutally manslaughtered, and all he could say
was... Try not to think about it. He was had a card from Antonelli.
How can I not think about it? You can't imagine what I've been through.
Oh, I can't.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Nobody can. Nobody who's not been through what I've been through can. It's not the first time I've been got at. It's not... I've been got at before. I've had my sweeping brush sabotaged more than once. 3 times I've had it nobbled. They saw it nearly through, you see. So that after a few sweeps, the head drops off. They think they're clever. I blame Starkey. He gives them free rein, and I know why. He can't do otherwise. He's in too deep. Are you with me?
No.
He's in on all the fiddles that go on, making things they're not supposed to. Do you follow?
No.
They should be making wooden patterns for the foundry. That's their job. But they're doing other things.
Other things?
Candlesticks, lamp standards, coffee tables. If it's wooden and small enough to be smuggled past the gatehouse under a Mack or in the boot of a car, they make it.
Oh.
They steal a fortune. And Stark is in on it. Oh, he's in deep. Up to here. He's the worst of the lot. But he's had it now. Oh, they've all had it. Their fun and games will soon be over. Because straight after the holidays, I'm going in to see Broster. I tried to see him this afternoon, but he was at some office party or other. But first thing Monday morning, I'll be in there. And then the sparks will fly. They'll be sacked. They'll have the houses raided. They'll have criminal proceedings taken against them. I won't be at all surprised if Mr. Broster doesn't use his connections to see they are blacklisted from every firm in this town.
Oh, don't go on anymore.
They might have a Merry Christmas, but they won't have a very Happy New Year.
Well, let us have a Merry Christmas, Norman. Hey, do you think it's going to snow?
They're smart.
A white Christmas would be nice.
They are.
They'll be looking to get a job on the bins when I finish with them. Snow clouds. They're all heavy, sort of like cotton wool. Oh, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't have a white Christmas. Just like on the cards.
Looks like rain to me.
No, them clouds are too low for rain. And I know the people have said it'll snow. Ken said it will.
Ken?
Ken, the butcher. Better go get your wellies out, he said.
He said what?
You'd better go...
I heard you.
He always has something cheerful to say.
What other cheerful things does he say?
Well, he says, good morning or good afternoon.
Depending on which it is.
Yes. Sometimes he says, good morning, sunshine. And he makes jokes about Peter's long hair.
Peter?
His assistant. This morning he said, Peter went to the barber's last night, and the barber took one look at him and said, "Do you want it cut in now, or have you just come in for an estimate?" Peter has long hair.
It's not very hygienic in a butcher's.
Well, it's not so long.
The barber thought it was.
No, we didn't really go to the barber's. Ken made it up.
Well, I don't think you should go there for your meat anymore.
I look forward to going.
I won't fancy it.
No use to going then.
No.
Oh, I hope it does snow. It'll be nice seeing the children playing in the snow round at Howard Jones.
Round where?
Jones. I think we're going there. Last time we saw her, she said, "You and Norman will be all on your own on Christmas Day. You must come to us." You heard her?
I don't remember.
You did, when we bumped into her in the market last. It'll be 3 weeks ago now. She said, "Well, didn't you hear her?"
No.
I'm certain she did. Well, I think she did. Yeah, she did. I don't know whether we're going for dinner, tea or what. You'd think she'd have let us know. I mean, we might have planned to go somewhere else.
Have we?
Oh, where else would we go? I think she'll pop round tonight or send one of the children to let us know, definitely.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here.
Eh?
I'm doing me bike.
Not Christmas Day.
Why not?
Well, it's not the sort of... You'd think she'd have let us know sooner. I haven't known whether to buy in for tomorrow or not. Oh, we're bound to be going. She is my only sister, and now that our mum's not here, it's only fair that. I mean, his sister will be there.
They've had it in for me. Ever since I flushed the dirty magazines away. We hid them in the lavatories balanced over the ball cocks. They'd sneak in there and read them. Hours on end, smoking and reading dirty magazines. But I found them. I tore them up and flushed them away. That put an end to their little game.
I'll give her a bit longer, and if she's not here by then, I'll go and mix the stuffing ready for tomorrow. Although she did say, outside Redmond's on the market. I wouldn't be mistaken over a thing like that.
Then there's the time they put the hand grenade in me locker. I didn't know it was just the case, and how was I to know? I was right to ring for the fire brigade. You can't afford to mess about. You read about these things. Things are exploding all over the place, all the time. Fire brigade called the police. And the police called a bomb disposal unit. And they all laughed at me. But I didn't think it was very funny.
But I'll have to pop round in the morning anyhow with the presents. I thought of giving Joan a bottle of bath salts. Do you think she'll like it? It's difficult. She seems to have everything. I bought the children jigsaws. They're right then. You can't go wrong with jigsaws. And I'm giving Bruce a golf ball.
You are?
I'm giving...
You're giving him a golf ball?
It's his sport.
A golf ball?
They're expensive.
He plays golf?
He's a member of the Old Lynx Club.
Oh. You ought to give him a clothes peg as well if he's a member there.
What?
At the end of his nose.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
You mean something?
No.
Oh, I don't understand. He's been a good husband and a good father.
Have you been using my oil?
No.
You've not been oiling your sewing machine?
No.
You ought to buy your own.
He's doing all right for himself, is Bruce.
Brucey.
He's done something with his life. He hasn't wasted it sitting in his living room mucking about with bits of motorbike engine.
Mucking about? Mucking about? I'm not mucking about. I have this motorbike in here for a definite purpose. I'm studying it so that
Why?
I don't... So that I don't have to spend the rest of my natural sweeping up wood shavings. You see, I have ambitions.
What?
I'm thinking of setting up on my own.
What
as? As my own boss. That'll show them. That'll make them jealous.
What are you going to do?
Set up on my own. Rent premises.
What?
I'm going to be a mechanic, aren't I?
But you're not trained.
That's what I'm telling you. I've trained myself. What I don't know about bikes isn't worth knowing. Now, look at that. You just tell me anybody else who could strip down a clutch as good as that. You can't, can you? You can't, no, nobody can. No. I shan't be sweeping up shavings for very much longer.
I didn't know you had ambitions, Norman.
Well, I have.
I'm very pleased. When are you going to start?
I'm quite decided, but it'll be soon.
Now, these premises you mentioned...
Yeah, I'll find somewhere.
Now, where's the capital coming from? Mummy?
Well, the bank. They'll give me a loan. They'll realise my potential. They'll invest in me.
Oh, they don't throw their money about.
Are you pouring cold water?
No.
Because I've got enough with them without you.
No, Norman, I want you to succeed. I only want you to realise
I'm not frightened of hard work.
I know you're
I
not.
I can work any two of them under the table.
I'm sure you can. It's just
I'll show you.
Well, I hope you do.
I will. Have you been touching this bag?
No.
Well, the push-rod bearing missing.
I never touch your things.
It's only small.
If I started touching your things, they'd most likely be lost.
Why can't you keep things straight? Perhaps you'd vacuumed it up. I mean, something as small as that, you could easily...
Put it back. I haven't vacuumed. Not since you brought your engine in. Stopping out of its corner.
Didn't hear it rattling in the motor.
No.
It makes a funny rattling noise when it's picking up a piece of metal.
I didn't hear anything. I always stop and have a look when I do. Don't empty it till you make a mess.
It's a vital part. Are you sure you haven't seen it anywhere?
Just everywhere.
Has anybody been?
No.
That sister of yours?
No.
With them kids' fingers in everything?
Joan's not been near for months.
They want taking in hand.
She hasn't been near for months. Oh, I'm forever tidying up after you.
Just to get that clutch sorted out. Now, where can I get a spare on Christmas Eve?
Norman?
What?
Have you ever thought of doing your bike outside or somewhere?
Outside?
Or somewhere.
What do you mean?
Well, it's never seemed right somehow having a motorbike in the living room.
You can't do your hobby in comfort.
But the place is never tidy.
What do you want it tidy for? To impress people. And what do you want to impress people for?
I don't. It's just... What's wrong with your shed?
Cold out there.
You have a paraffin heater.
I've no paraffin.
Well, get some.
I've nothing to collect it in, have I?
Why?
You know why.
Why?
Because Patch took the can.
Oh, don't remind me.
He asked me.
I'd forgotten.
You asked me.
Poor Patch.
It was an accident.
So you keep saying.
I just stopped to tie my shoe. It seemed a good idea to tie his lead to can.
It wasn't.
He started sniffing along the pavement.
Poor Patch.
The can clattered. It startled him. I couldn't do anything. He ran off. Can clattering along behind him.
He must have been frightened out of his wits.
That was the last I saw of him, running down Waterloo Street with a can banging along behind him.
You were lucky the RSPCA didn't get on to you.
It was an accident.
You never liked him. Right from when he was a puppy, you never liked him.
He was a stupid dog.
He knew all right.
The most stupid dog I've ever known.
He used to whimper when he heard you coming. He knew your footsteps. He'd dive under the table.
He was scared of cats.
Whimpering under the table.
Who ever heard of a dog that was scared of cats?
He was sensitive.
Sensitive.
Highly strung. Something to do with his breeding.
We're better off without him.
I miss him. You miss your loved ones at Christmas. I miss my mother. I miss the Christmas party. Hey, we had some fun.
I didn't have any fun.
There's never been parties like them. Aunties, uncles, cousins, everybody round at my mum's. There were so many, we had to borrow the bench from the chippy. Everybody in a funny hat. Well, practically everybody. My mum would get the big teapot out. It held 20 cups. Families don't have teapots like that anymore. And I don't care what you say, we had a lot of fun. The Auntie Elsie would have us in ducks telling us about her operations. I've been cut open so many times, my tummy's like a map of the London Underground, she'd say. And Auntie Nellie would disappear after tea to take a corset off. Hey, that's better, she'd say. And we'd all know what she meant. Hey, them two together, they were like a turn at the old Grand Theatre. Elsie and Nellie Waters, we used to call them. They'd keep us laughing for hours. In after tea, Bruce would do his conjuring tricks. He was ever so good. And he didn't just do simple tricks. Every year he used to saw Auntie Elsie in half. She always insisted on it being her. Another cut won't make much difference, she'd say. He pulled a live rabbit out of a hat one year. And it leapt off the table and went hopping round the room. There was pandemonium. The dog went after it and Bruce went after the dog and the children were shouting and screaming. Hey, I laughed so much I thought I'd run out of tears. It's a wonder the neighbours didn't send for the police. Although they'd have needed a couple of police horses to sort us lot out.
Yeah, I could see him pulling things down his sleeve.
What?
His shirt cuffs used to come down to his knuckles.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, a two-year-old could have seen through his tricks.
But he could soar Andy Elsie in half.
He should have done.
There's not many amateurs that could do that.
Andy used to cheat at cards.
Oh, what a thing to say.
When we played Newmarket.
You can't cheat at Newmarket. You have to follow on, red, black.
He used to hang on to cards he ought to have played.
No, no, Norman.
He cheated, all right.
I don't think he did.
And at blind man's buff.
Never. How?
It peep under the scarf.
Now you're being ridiculous. You're joking. You are joking.
No, he's never been trustworthy.
His family.
Well, that don't make him honest.
He's our Jones' husband.
His eyebrows meet in the middle.
My mum thought the world of him. He used to take her runs in his car to all her favourite places. The Horseshoe Pass, Southport, Bolton Abbey. Mm,
because he was after her money.
She didn't leave any. Oh.
Well, it serves him jolly well right.
If we'd had a car, we could have taken her places. To Heysham via the Trap of Bowland, picnic dinner in the trough, tea in the tea gardens at Heysham. Then perhaps we could have come home over Cockerham Marshes. That would have been a trip and a half, that would. And another time we could have gone to the illuminations at Blackpool or Glasson's Dock or Hollingworth Lake.
A bike's always suited me. I'd like to see Brucey on a bike. I bet he can't ride one. He'd fall off, get his silk suit dirty. Do you know, his trousers don't have turnips, do you? They don't, have you noticed? Oh, yes, he's very with it, is Brucey.
All I know is he takes a pride in his appearance.
He wears suede shoes and ties with little flowers on and pink shirts.
He has to look smart for his work.
Him? Work?
He works in an office.
So what?
He's in authority.
In authority?
He tells people what to do.
He's probably in charge of the lad who makes tea. He tells him how many spoonfuls to put in the urn.
That's not true. He has a very responsible position. He has qualifications. He went to night school.
Well, flower arranging diplomas don't count.
You're going too far, Norman.
Well, I'm sick of hearing about him just because he works in an office. You think he's it? People in offices, they don't do anything. They just fill in hundreds of forms and stick them in big green filing cabinets. I know, I've had dealings with them. Like when I went up with my idea for making the factory more efficient. Did they want to know, did they, Thump? I said to them, do you realise that if every man in this factory stopped spending hours on end in the lavatories reading dirty magazines and filling in betting slips and pulled their fingers out and got on with the job, they could have it done in half the time it takes them at present? So I says, why don't you put everybody on half time? A sack half of them. They looked at me as they thought I was daft. I mean, there's me, trying to save them thousands of pounds, and they didn't want to know. Do you realise what you're saying, they said. And I said, yes, yeah. They just looked blank. So I'm not bothering with any of them when I go to complain about Starkey's lot. I'm going straight to Broster, or I might even go to the chairman, Sir Gerald. Go straight to the top, that's what I say. Aye. And I might have a word with Sir Gerald about my efficiency plans while I'm there. It'd be daft wasting an opportunity.
Are you ready for your tea yet? I'll go and put it on.
Well, I may have him. Pork chops?
No.
That's a fancy pork chops.
What you're having's all right.
What am I having?
A nice boiled duck egg.
I don't like duck eggs.
That's not true.
Might as well go and turn gas off.
They're one of your favourites.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They never have been.
But you what
they're that? Dangerous.
Not duck eggs.
Yeah, I read it somewhere. Most duck eggs are all right, but every so often you get a poisonous one.
Hey, who'd do a thing like that?
Well, I'll finish with them.
But you've been eating duck eggs for years without being poisoned.
Yeah, well, I've been lucky.
Well, can I get you something else?
Won't mind a pork chop.
Well, I haven't got it. Let me open a can of baked beans.
No.
How does baked beans on toast sound?
No.
Well, beans aren't poisonous, are they?
I don't want anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've no pork chops. Didn't occur to me to buy any. I didn't know. How was I to know?
Don't matter.
Straight after the holidays, I'll buy you some for your tea.
Don't bother.
But, don't soak, Norman.
Have you seen the paper?
You're sitting on it. Mm.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be useful. Now, that would be useful. I've always wanted an air compressor.
I didn't know.
I don't tell you everything. Ah, somebody's offering to exchange one for a circular saw.
What did you use it for?
Oh. All sorts of jobs, sir. Inflating tyres, paint spraying. In fact, I don't think I could go into business without one. And I could show Brucey how smart I am. If he comes round here with that fancy car of his, I could sneak out and let his tyres down. And then he'd be in a mess because he hadn't got a foot pump. So he'd be all upset, wouldn't he, and weeping into his flowered hanky which matches his tie. And I'd say to him, just a moment, Brucey, I'll just wheel out my compressor. Psst, 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 psst. Oh, that'll show him how useless he is. How it's only people like me, people with equipment and know-how that... Pity I haven't got a circular saw to exchange for it.
I thought you had one.
No.
Well, what's that you have in your shed? That you make fancy shapes out of?
It's a fretwork machine.
Oh, isn't that the same?
Yeah, nothing like it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, hang on. Hang on, somebody's offering compressors for cash here. £30. Money back guaranteed. Yeah, I think I'll send off for one.
£30 is a lot of money.
No, it's an investment.
Oh, I didn't look at it like that.
Oh. I'll go down to post office and get some postal orders.
Oh, what's the use?
How do you mean?
It's Christmas.
Oh, hell.
Norman, if you're not busy, why don't you mend the fairy lights? It'd be nice having them working on Christmas Day. Joan always has a big tree.
Does she still stick it in the front garden so all neighbours will think she is somebody?
A tree in your garden doesn't mean you are somebody.
I'm glad you agree with me.
Please mend the lights, Norman. We must be the only house in the row without any.
All right, I'll mend them.
Oh, thank you.
Now, what's up with them?
They're not working.
When did they go out?
They've never been in.
What?
Well, not since last year.
Did you test them before you put them on the tree?
No.
You should have done.
I never thought to. They were working when I put them away last year.
You should have spread them all out on the floor and tested them first.
Oh, sorry, I didn't think.
It's more difficult to test them when they're draped all over the tree. These pickles don't help.
Christmas tree pickles aren't really sharp.
Yes, they are.
Must have been a bit of tinsel.
It wasn't.
One of the bulbs must have gone.
I don't think so.
Well, once before they went out, you changed a bulb.
If it's just a bulb, all the others would stay in.
No, if one blows, they all go out.
Look, if you know so much about it, why don't you come and mend
it? Sorry, I didn't mean to interfere.
It's a loose connection. I'll have to test all the sockets. There you...
Oh,
I've had a shock now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why don't you put your wellies on?
Are you trying to be funny?
No, I read it somewhere that you can't get a shock if you're wearing wellies.
Don't get smart with me, Alice.
No, honest, I read it in hand, didn't
I? I am not wearing wellies.
Oh, suit yourself.
Again, I've had another shock. Oh, 250 volts through your hands, no joke.
Oh, I know, Norman. You sit down.
No. Well,
shall
I'll
I
carry
switch
on.
Off?
How can I test them if they're switched off?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, hell.
Oh, dear.
Rotten, flaming tree. Well, sort that lot out and all. I will. Go on, clear off. It's too early. Clear off back to where you belong. Go on, get out of it.
Definitely sad outside Redmond's. Family should be together at Christmas. Where else should they be if they're not together? My mother believed in the family being together. She dedicated her life to that. If she could see us now, she'd... Oh, you can't really blame Joan wanting to be on her own with her immediate family. I mean, we're not immediate to her, not like her children are. You're immediate to me mother, but not to our Joan, if you see what I mean. Oh, I hope she invites us. We could take our own chicken. Auntie Elsie and Auntie Nellie go to a hotel at Blackpool now. Perhaps we should have booked there. Although I doubt if Norman would go. He doesn't like hotels. He doesn't see the point in them. Don't see the point in anything much, except his bike. He thinks more of that blooming bike than anything else. I don't see any point in it. It's never working. Hasn't gone since I can't remember. But he seems to get a lot of pleasure out of it, and it's harmless. I mean, he doesn't drink, and he doesn't go off with other women, so I suppose I'm lucky. Some husbands are always off gallivanting. At least I know where he is. He's in here in the winter and in his shed in the summer. Odd times he goes down the scrap yard to see what he can find, or down the pot factory for a bottle of dandelion and burdock. But usually he's here. And he always tips his wages up on a Friday. That's more than most wives can say. I can hold my head up and say how much he earns. I wish he earned more. It's just that our Joan, what I'd really like is a kitchen with fitted cupboards and plastic working surfaces, like she has. Whenever I go there, I come home and I look round my back kitchen and I think, and a fridge. I've always wanted a fridge. The milk wouldn't go sour in the summer if I had a fridge. I stand it in a pan of cold water, but it still goes off. I'd be contented with a nice kitchen. But I don't suppose. And I wouldn't mind going out now and again. Nowhere special, just out. To the pictures, or... when we were little, my mother used to take us to the pantomimes. They always did one at the Grand. That's some big names. Albert Modley and Mother Goose, he was one I saw. He was ever so good. He dressed up as a woman. But the goose was best. It kept wagging its tail and laying golden eggs. Half a pound of toffee and a front seat in the gods. I got into trouble once for dropping a toffee onto a man in circle. He had a bald head. I hit a man with a bald head. When Joan teases me, she always says I hit a bald-headed man with a toffee. Although I don't think the toffee really did hit anybody. Probably just landed on the floor or somewhere. No, Norman doesn't go out much. He's not a mixer. He likes to keep himself to himself. He's not one for running with the herd. He's one on his own, an individual. And he's not frightened of speaking his mind. Why, this business of work about them singing these songs. He doesn't like mucky words. He never has. He doesn't see any need for them. And just because he speaks up for what he believes in, they're set on him. And it's not the first time. They've tampered with his brush and... as that hand grenade, oh, yes, they've played some dirty tricks on him. Grown men behaving like children. Well, no, not children, like animals. That's how they behave. They think they're smart and they've no right calling him that name. Slateshort, they call him. And that's not very nice because he's not. He's all there. He's not like them. He thinks things out. They don't think. He knows about bikes. He taught himself. He's going to set up on his own as a mechanic. That'll show him. Norman will show him. Animals, that's what they are. They ought to be in cages at the zoo. Shouldn't be allowed to terrorise Norman. Play tricks on him to call him names. He's my husband. He's the only one I've got. I don't suppose our Joan will be calling. She has her own family to think of. I'll just call round in the morning with the presents. Bruce will offer me a sherry and I'll sip it slowly and say how big the children are getting and then I'll come home. So I'd better see about mixing the stuffing. I've got a nice chicken.
In Once Upon a Christmas by David Fitzsimmons, Anne Rye played Alice and Malcolm Hebden Norman. The play was directed in Manchester by Alfred Bradley.